The text for our meditation this morning is taken from the prophet of Amos that was just read. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, today, 2 days ago, we heard the call of the Reformation, and I hope the preachers and teachers of our Lutheran Church drew attention to a very formative statement that forms our Lutheran piety, which is this: when our Lord and Master Jesus Christ said, "Repent," He willed the entire life of believers to be one of repentance. This is the first thesis of the 95 which Luther posted on the castle door in Wittenberg in 1517. When our Lord and Master said, "Repent," He willed the entire life of the believers to be one of repentance. This is a very serious call, one that resonates very well with our text today and with the mood spoken by the words of the apostle, by the prophet Amos. It is a lament over Israel's inability to demonstrate true repentance. Thus, we have here a very angry God, angry, speaking harsh words over the house of Israel. It seems that there is no second chance here. In chapter 8, the Lord shows the prophet a basket of fruit and asks him, "What do you see, Amos?" And Amos responds, perhaps like we all would, "I see a basket of ripe fruit, so what about it?" And Amos responds, and the Lord responds, "The time is ripe for my people. I will spare them no longer." This basket of fruit is a metaphor for Israel's damnation. Yes, the day of the Lord, the day of judgment will come. That day will be darkness, not light. The prophet announces bad news. There will be wailing in the streets and cries of anguish in every public square. The farmers will be summoned to weep and the mourners to wail. There will be wailing in all the vineyards, for I will pass through your midst, says the Lord. There is a final ring to these words, no pardon, no avoidance, but one of certain death. And God is determined to have this day of judgment to come over his people. He will not back off. It is too late to change, too late to make amends, and too late for intercessions. Whatever Israel wants to do, it cannot change the Lord's intentions. In fact, you might have heard in verse 19 the imagery of a man fleeing from a lion only to meet a bear. Just when you thought you had escaped the lion, you run into the arms of a bear. What's the difference, being eaten by a lion or by a bear? Either way, you will die. So there's no escape here, like the American saying, out of the frying pan into the fire. You can't escape the Lord's day. In chapter 7, the prophet uses another symbol here, next to the fruit basket, namely that of a plumb line, which is used at construction to see whether the walls are actually straight. This is to bring across the point that the people of Israel were once built like a straight wall, according to the Lord's desire and standards. But now, when you hold the plumb line next to the wall that is to Israel, it is all bent out of shape. Israel has lost the standards the Lord originally left for his people. The situation between God and his people, therefore, is extremely tense, and the prophet has nothing but bad news for his people. But do any people really deserve such harsh punishment? After all, God is also a God of grace. Yes, but he is, under these circumstances, surely affirming his judgment. It must prevail. And it is so because of the attitudes and doings of his people. The list of wrongdoings is very long here. Seeking out God in idolatrous places such as Gilgal and Bethel and Beersheba. And then there's this injustice and lack of righteousness that is no mishpat and tzedakah in society. You hate the one who reproves in court and despise him who tells the truth. You trample on the poor and force him to give you grain. You oppress the righteous and take bribes, and you deprive the poor justice in the court. The problem is that the Israelites do not recognize that what they are doing is actually sinful. And moreover, they do not approach the Lord in the repentance for their sins. Instead, they remain wrongful in their doing, and then on top of that, they actually try to cover them up with the sacrifices to the Lord. But the Lord recognizes all this as hypocrisy and is unwilling, therefore, to accept what they offer. And he calls out, "I do not want your sacrifices. I do not want your worship at Gilgal and Bethel. Instead, I want to see justice and righteousness displayed amongst you people." So what angers the Lord is that people try to cover up their evil doings with sacrifices, thinking that the Lord will look away and ignore their doings. In other words, the Israelites offer sacrifices and worship the Lord with a cover-up tactic, thinking that the Lord will look away and tolerate their wrongdoing and receive these sacrifices instead. But the Lord wants true repentance, one where they recognize their sins and then come before God remorseful with the wish for forgiveness. And so the judgment here that the Lord pronounces is really well deserved, no doubt. God is a righteous God, and he cannot tolerate unrighteousness next to himself, nor can he tolerate it amongst his people. It seems that in the context of the house of Israel, righteousness is actually reflected by God's behavior itself. We hear that God is just and righteous, that he is impartial. He will not accept any bribes from anyone. He himself listens to the weak and to the poor, and he is the one who seeks out good and not evil. These are the Lord's standards, and he wants them also to be reflected in the lives of the people. Therefore, let justice roll on like a river, righteousness like a never-failing stream. And yet, dear friends, I do not want to end today with a total preaching of the law. We may hope for Israel that despite the judgment day, that the Lord moves beyond his intentions to destroy. And indeed, he does move beyond that. God did not find Mishpat and Tzedakah among his people, and so the full brunt of his judgment came across his Son on the cross. Christ did it. And only on him and through him God's judgment against us is reverted. And the call to repentance recognizes that without Christ, total annihilation would have been the result on me and you. And the news for the Israelites here is this. Had the Israelites shown true repentance, contrition of heart, and approached the Lord with true repentance, then the Lord would have taken great delight in their sacrifices. Then he would have been a merciful God, a God of grace. God did not reject their sacrifices, their music, their song, their assemblies in principle. He was just upset at the way Israel approached him, and for that reason, his judgment had to be decisive, it had to be final and without pardon. Thus, together with Israel and with the whole Church of God, we look at the first thesis of the Reformation, and we rejoice in the fact that our repentance finds a righteous God, yet also a merciful and forgiving God in Jesus Christ. Amen.